Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's great to be back here again on Sunday night.
It's always awesome.
Yeah.
Woo!
Teaching or reading God's Word,
yeah,
and studying it. And
getting through two or three sentences of my notes.
Yep.
And then I think, well, I got enough notes for maybe one show.
I really like when you play those minor chords on the guitar, though. That's my favorite part
of the
show.
That's the best.
That's the best.
I'm thinking of getting one of those lyres. Not L-I-A-R-S, but L-Y-R-E-S.
Oh.
Yeah.
A 10-string or a 12-string?
I want to play like David did.
Ooh.
I've got some of his teaching DVDs at home. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So we started, I don't know if it's a new series or not, but I've been kind of going over in my mind this idea of serious discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow, it's...
I've heard you mention that a couple of times.
And as most of you know, it's a... Things are a lot different now than they used to be, even 10 years ago,
yeah,
let alone 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole moral climate has changed. The whole spiritual climate has changed.
It really has.
The people that used to do a lot of ministry and service are now saying, man, I don't do that stuff much anymore because, I don't know, I kind of got tired of it. And everybody's bickering and arguing anyway, so who cares?
The great falling away.
The great falling away that has happened. You know, Paul talks about that, and he gives the impression it's going to kind of be, you know, as the time of the end comes, there'll be a great falling away. And people have lost interest, but then on the other side, you have also a situation where you have big groups of people that are in their teens, 20s, 30s that have no foundation of anything to do with Christianity or even Judeo-Christian morality.
Right.
Because they've been raised in a climate where everything's okay, whatever you do, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And this is where most young people are living now.
Well, you know, you see the culture in our country, and I mean, there, you know, there's pockets of where there's growth in discipleship. You see pockets around the world where there's growth in discipleship. But, you know, if you look in the United States and Europe, there's a great decline in Judeo-Christian belief.
Yeah. Huge.
And, you know, is it because the church isn't proclaiming the gospel? Is because the church isn't proclaiming the truth? Is it because people are just falling away?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are tough questions, but you are right. There is, you know, the younger generation of our society, they are being brought up in an age where the use of media and communication is so fast to them.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has a phone attached to themselves. Yeah. You know,
their attention span is 17 seconds.
If that. And, you know, with all that thing called Facebook. We have all these friends you never talk to.
Yeah.
So you have all these media, Facebook, Snapchat, all this other stuff that we can communicate so quickly with each other. And nobody seems to have really time for an in-depth dialogue, though.
That's right.
And that's the essence of, I think, what's missing in our culture.
Yeah.
If you ask somebody, hey, let's get together and talk, generally their response is,
I don't have time.
I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, when you have time? I don't know. I'm just so busy. You know, I got all this stuff I got to do. And so to really sit down and read God's Word.
Yeah. I mean, there's no time for even things like studying the scripture, having a prayer time, even going to church for that matter.
Yeah. Everything competes for our attention. And I mean, you know, things always compete for people's attention, but in our day and age, with all the electronic devices that we have and all the ability to communicate so quickly, not necessarily efficiently, but quickly, it can be a big distraction if we don't learn how to tune things out and focus on and go and spend time with the Lord and just have some one-on-one time with him.
Yeah, and even, I hate to use the term well-meaning, but even well-meaning people who are believers, you know, say they are believers, and go to what I call a feel-good church, a feel-good place where you sing some nice songs. The pastor gives you some message about how awesome everybody is and how Jesus loves everybody and we love him too here. And, you know, if you know any seekers, bring them here. And then everybody leaves in a good mood. And
they all feel great.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's not what I have in mind by serious discipleship.
Is like those well-being people, is that when you ask somebody, hey, would you like to come to the prayer meeting? Well, I'd like to, but.
Yeah. What time is it at again? Do you want to listen to our radio show? You have a radio show? It's Sunday at 7:30. Okay. And then the next time you see him, they go, what time was that again? But, I mean, not that they have to listen to this, but, I mean, I wouldn't even listen to that. But anyway.
Heaven forbid.
But in fact, this morning, my good friend Pastor Dan Short from New Life Fellowship brought up an interesting point, because we were talking about new evangelization and that sort of thing. And everybody talks about evangelizing young people, but there's plenty of middle-aged and older people that need to be evangelized.
Yeah.
And it isn't a generational thing. Like, I do a lot of work in nursing homes, and I see people that are in their 80s that say, well, once you're dead, you're dead, and you're 6 feet under, and that's it. And I say, wow, you really believe that? And they go, yep. And I go, well, what if you're wrong?
Yeah.
Well, no one's ever come back to tell us. So, you know, to counter that sort of thing.
The truth is there have been people that came back to tell
us.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, that's an interesting point you bring up, because in the ministry that I do, besides what you and I do at Gift of Grace Ministries here.
We have a worldwide staff working here night and day.
Round the clock. There is no sleep in the kingdom. So there is, and not just with young people. I think this spans several generations, if not more, because there's a great misunderstanding about volunteerism and who you are as a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And I hear so many times, hey, I'm just a volunteer here in the church. Wrong. If you don't understand that your baptism that you enter into life with Christ in your baptism and through your baptism, then that person doesn't understand what baptism is all about. It's to be, you're immersed into Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
In fact, the word for baptism comes from the original Greek word, which meant you're coming up out of the water. Mm-hmm. It's like you die while you're dunked in the water, and then you come up to new life.
Yeah. And in being a disciple of Jesus Christ, you know, 1 Peter says you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart.
Mm-hmm.
And you're to proclaim, we're to proclaim the riches of his glory.
Amen.
For the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing just a little bit, but.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you think about how we've talked about being ambassadors on this show.
Yes.
We are ambassadors for Christ. So
2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Right. So if somebody says, hey, I'm just a volunteer here. Come on, give me a break. Wrong. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You've been purchased at the price of his blood.
Right.
You're adopted into the family of God. You're a son and daughter of God the Most High. What don't you...
Yeah.
You know, it's like, do you understand what that means?
Right.
And if it doesn't mean much, then, you know, it's like, gosh, how do you invite that person to relook at their own faith life and say, what's your relationship like with Jesus Christ, who says, I now call you friends, because a slave doesn't know what his master's doing.
Mm-hmm. And in the Great Commission, he tells us to go out and make disciples. Yeah. He doesn't tell us to go out and just make everybody feel good.
Right.
To bring some people to church so they can hear some music.
Yeah.
Just go out and make disciples.
Yeah.
And they're ambassadors. You're an ambassador too when you go to the grocery store, when you go to work, when you go to McDonald's.
Or if you're ministering in the church on a Sunday afternoon.
In the church, yeah.
I mean,
if you're at your company picnic and somebody says, so what is it with you and all this church stuff you do? Let me tell you, I don't want to really talk about that because you wouldn't be interested.
Yeah. I mean, see, those are the type of things that we're talking about. It's like serious discipleship is taking the message to wherever God has you.
Yeah.
To whoever asks you for it.
Yeah. You know, in 1 Peter 3:15, it says you should always be ready to give an explanation for the joy that lies within you with gentleness and respect.
Yeah.
So when somebody says, well, how come you go to church so much? Or how come you're going to church and it's Tuesday? You say, well, you really want to know? And you tell them.
Hey, the service starts in a half hour. Come on, I'll show you.
But you're right. It's, we can't, number one, you can't be a Lone Ranger Christian. And, you know, last week at one of my groups, this one person said, well, you know, as long as you know Jesus, you don't have to worry about knowing the Bible. You don't have to worry about going to church. You don't have to worry about, basically, you don't have to worry about anything. And I said, well, wait a minute. Sure, you have to know Jesus, but
that is not.
You have to learn the word. You have to, you know, the Hebrews, my favorite book, says you don't forsake the assembling of the brethren.
Right.
Because you worship with other brethren. Everybody gets together to praise the Lord and to worship. And you can't be a Lone Ranger Christian.
Right.
You can't be an undercover Christian because you're supposed to be salt and light. Like Jesus told us, you have to be salt and light.
Yep.
Because we're light in the darkness, and boy, is there ever a lot of darkness.
Yeah.
So when somebody says to me, like in my business, people are shocked when I say something that's pro-life or some kind of, you know, quality of life kind of thing or dignity of a human being kind of thing. And they go, wow, you really believe that?
Yeah.
And they go, well, of course I really believe this because this is how God looks at it.
Yeah.
We have the human person is not just a bunch of biological reactions going on. And then at some point you die.
Yeah.
There's much more to it than that.
Much more.
And, you know, you have, I tell people all the time, you know, you worry more about your cholesterol than where you're going to spend eternity.
Mm-hmm.
That really doesn't make much sense.
Yeah.
Because if you live to be 150 and you're in terrific shape, and you die and you end up in hell, then what good did all that stuff do you?
Yeah.
Because a billion years from now, you won't remember what good physical shape you were in. You're going to be in a miserable place.
Exactly.
And this is what's happening now. And I think this isn't the point of today's show. I've got notes. But the point of it is we have these distractions. Some of them are demonic, but not everything's demonic. Some of them are of our own making.
Yep.
But of course, the demons love this.
Yep.
Like the demons love it if you have to take your kids to the soccer game on Sunday morning at 10 and you don't have time to go to church.
Yep.
And the demons love it if you're working so many hours that on Sunday morning you say, I can't possibly go to church. I'm exhausted. I'm just going to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
And the demons love it if two people within a ministry start arguing with each other. And then the ministry starts to suffer because of that.
Yep.
I mean, Satan just sits back and laughs.
Yeah, because then God can't bless his people.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's not about us, as we always say.
True.
Ministry is not about us. And when you're an ambassador, it's not about you. The American ambassador to France doesn't walk around Paris going, hey, I'm the American ambassador to France, and let me tell you something. I'm pretty awesome, and let me tell you something. I don't care what my government in Washington says. I want to do what I want to do. That's not what ambassadors do.
No.
As we've done on many shows.
But there's a lot of people in the church.
But there's a lot of people that are like that.
There's a lot of people in the church, outside of the church, that want to do that.
Exactly.
And, you know, as we're preparing the show for what we're going to talk about, I want to go.
Got some notes here.
We'll get to those in a second. I want to get to Matthew chapter 5.
Who? Oh,
he was one of those first apostles.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Matthew chapter 5 verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? If it is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. Hmm. Now, you know, some people are very quiet about, they go about their life in a very quiet way. But they do small things mm-hmm. with great love.
With great love. Mm-hmm.
And it makes a big impact. Sometimes God does call us to speak and to proclaim.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be ready to do that, whether we're comfortable with it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that is always a challenge for, I think, any believer is to step out and speak the truth.
Yes. And we have to speak into the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the time of creation, God spoke into the darkness and said, let there be light. Now, we've got a darkness in our world now that's unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's always been bad stuff.
Right.
But it's unprecedented now.
Yeah.
We're redefining life. We're redefining marriage. We're redefining every kind of conduct imaginable.
Yeah.
We can't go along with that in the sense of we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want any trouble with anybody. We just want everybody to get along because that's not being salt and light.
Mm-hmm.
We have to speak against that darkness.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not going to be pleasant.
And, you know, one of the things that we fall into is all the media that sends this message
out.
Yeah. It's a very small percentage of the population that really sends out this message.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say whatever you want. You can portray a message whatever you want. I mean, if we got on this station and in this show, we started talking about whatever we wanted and proclaimed it as truth, it doesn't mean it's truth.
That's right.
It's only truth if it aligns with the, you know, the righteousness of God.
Amen.
And so, if somebody says something, just because somebody speaks something, doesn't mean it's truth, especially if it's a lie.
There's lots of false teachers, and St. Paul, who didn't know anything about the internet, anything about radio, anything about TV, anything about communications, called Satan the prince of the power of the air.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan is in all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's parents have to worry about what their kids are going to do on the internet. You have to worry about going to a, quote, Christian site and getting all kinds of wrong information,
mm-hmm.
finding out, hey, wait a minute, this guy doesn't believe in the Trinity, but he's making a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense what he's saying.
Yeah.
Then you start to think on a different plane. Lots of break already.
Yeah.
I'm just getting rolling. I got to get to my notes. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
On the throne and to the Lamb, be wisdom, honor, and the power of men. The Spirit and the bride say, come to the Lamb, the living water and the risen sun. Who else and is to come, let every tribe and every tongue lift up your voice and praise the Holy One. our glory. Lord God Almighty, you are holy. Who was and is to come. Let every tribe and every tongue lift up your voice and praise the Holy One. Who was and is to come. Let every tribe and every tongue lift up your voice and praise the Holy One.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Was that Paul Wilbur?
That was Paul Wilbur.
We don't hear that song too often.
Not hardly ever. I haven't heard him sing that in a long time.
A long time.
Anyway, should we get to what the show's about, or do you want to go on with it?
Well, being that we've talked about something for 20 minutes already.
Well,
I think
you know, as during the break, the other thing I was thinking of as we were talking is we have all this communication, like you were saying, but Paul and John both say, as soon as we leave here, there's going to be false teachers coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they knew it wasn't going to take very long.
Right.
And when you see some of these programs that are on Christian TV, it's pretty mind-boggling.
Yeah. I mean, you can even see it in the letters to the communities that Paul writes. Mm-hmm. You know, he goes there, speaks the truth to them, comes back and says, who duped you into thinking something different?
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't take long for the enemy to try and plant seeds of discord and discontent and division and, you know, uproot what God's trying to plant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's having a willingness to bow before God in all humility and ask God to remove from my life anything that's not from Him.
Yeah.
And to really, if I can't go before God and say, God, you know all things, you've created all things, if you've read Psalm 139 and you believe it.
Oh, yeah, that's an awesome psalm.
You know that there's not even a thought that comes into your mind that God doesn't know about. Not a word is spoken that He doesn't know about. Even the ones that you're thinking about speaking, but you don't.
Mm-hmm.
He knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
And in our culture, a lot of people think that if they don't speak a word, nobody's ever going to know about it. Mm-hmm. Yet they think something in their heart, and it festers, and it turns into something else: bitterness, resentment, anger,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
distrust.
Yep.
And they think
and it
okay.
grows,
and it grows, and they mm-hmm. and they think they're okay, and they're not.
Yeah.
And this is a huge problem. I think this is a huge problem in our culture, because if I can't go before God in all humility in the privacy of my own room and bow my heart before Him,
mm-hmm.
then how am I going to do that out there?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I can't.
Exactly.
And if I allow God to do that in my life, He's going to move. He's going to show me things that aren't good for me that will separate me from his mercy and love and His friendship so that I can ask Him, Lord, help me with this. Take this affection away from me. You know, the reason we sin is because sin is, you know, there's usually an affection towards it because we like to do it.
Mm-hmm.
quite honestly. And that's
yeah, it's our nature.
It's our nature. And so really we have to ask God to take that away from us.
Yes. Who out there has ever had to teach a four-year-old how to be selfish? It's what they naturally do. You have to teach them not to be selfish. You have to say, like, you have to share your toys with that other little kid.
Yeah.
They don't want to do that.
They don't want to do that, no.
But you're absolutely right. But Satan appeals to that nature because he knows it well.
Yep.
So that's what he knows. He knows how to appeal to it. So you have people who are trying to be disciples, and some of this stuff you just talked about creeps in, or they hear something, and they say, wow, maybe that's right. Maybe what I've been thinking is not right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I got a conflict with this person over here, and now the conflict becomes kind of a sidetrack issue, even though you're trying to do the ministry, because it's not about us.
Yeah.
And using the example of the ambassador is a great example. Using the example of the servant and friends, you know, it's not about us.
Right.
And there are probably many people that God has called to something, but they've heard the call and ignored it, or they didn't understand the call, or they did something that messed up the call. So he has somebody else do it.
Yeah.
If the plan is that, the plan's going to be fulfilled, but the person who didn't do the plan is the one who's going to lose out.
Yeah.
And when Jesus tells the Pharisees, not only do you not go into the kingdom, but you prevent others from going in, this is a very serious thing, because if you confuse 30,000 people at your church, that's way worse than just confusing your next-door neighbor.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, truth. And of course, everything is based on faith and your desire to spread the word if you're going to do serious discipleship. And you're going to have to be willing to serve. You're going to have to be willing to be uncomfortable. You're going to have to be willing to say, it's really hot in this building, but I have to do this.
It
is pretty warm here. Or you have to say, you know, I have a migraine today, but I still have to go do the teaching.
Yep.
Or it's easy to say, I'm just going to go home and lie down and take a pill, but I got to go do this today. Because following is a matter of, it's not a matter of your comfort, and it's not about you. Because you haven't been given a gift to have it just be for your benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Your gift is to build up the body, Paul says in Ephesians. It's to build up the body. So again, you know, like I always have said, if you have the gift of music and you just sit in your living room and play music all day and you're the only one there, well, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, if you're given the gift of teaching and, you know, every day you come up with a teaching and you have them all in your computer and you say, wow, these are some really awesome teachings, but you just share them with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what the gift is for.
Exactly. And sometimes the person that God gives the gift to doesn't see it. And there's times where somebody else will see that person who has a gift. Man, you're really gifted in this. Oh, no, I'm not. No, you really are. And there was one time a person, you know, was telling somebody that they were gifted at playing the guitar, and they go, yeah, well, this isn't about me. Like, well, no, the ministry isn't really about you, but it is about your gifts and talents so that you develop them so that God can use them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not having a understanding of why God's given me that gift, why God's given that person that gift, that they don't understand that God wants to do something with that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't give it to you just so it could sit dormant because you choose not to use it. I mean, you know, the hardest person to run away from is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I think, and a lot of times people do that in one, you know, they want to not go to a place where God's calling them because, oh gosh, I'm uncomfortable with that. I can't even see myself doing that. Well, there's a lot of things I never saw myself doing until really God got a hold of my life. And I allowed him to form me and walked with him instead of against him. I mean, one of the best spiritual pieces of direction that I ever got was where I was, I went to confession and the priest that was there got a vision of these two wills grinding against each other.
Mm.
And he got the interpretation that it was, I was fighting God's will.
Mm.
And I'm like, wow. And after that, I really started to try to pay more attention to what I was doing in my life and where it was going. And it wasn't too long after that that I got out of what I was doing and went into music ministry.
Yeah, that's neat.
You know, sometimes our vision can get really blurred because we think we're on the right path and, oh man, this is my career. This is what I've got going on. And man, I got all this time and energy invested into it. Doesn't mean that you're going to walk away from it, but it does mean that maybe God wants you to do two things.
Yeah,
as
you're saying that, I was remembering when I was a new believer and I didn't know anything because all I used to do before that was make fun of people who had faith, and it's all about faith, as I'm going to get to when we start the show. Oh no, wait a minute. The show's half over. Anyway, I sat there with a Bible that I bought at that famous Christian bookstore Borders, which isn't even around anymore.
Oh, wow.
Because I didn't have a Bible. And I kept reading. You know, I started reading. I didn't really understand what I was reading. And the Lord just kept me there, and it was always in the Torah. It was always in the first five books, and I didn't understand what I was reading. And I got a book about the Old Testament that was meant for sixth graders. That was my first commentary that I read. Now, you know, I was 44 at the time, so I could understand like a sixth grade book. So I read that book and it started to explain what I was, you know, at a very elementary level. But the Lord used that to say, see, this is why this is important. And then as you know, that's the drinking the milk, as we talked about last time.
Mm-hmm.
But then as you get into more solid food and you start reading and praying and thinking and reading more serious commentaries, you start to say, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And over a period of time, I didn't know why I was spending so much time in the Torah. And then all of a sudden, look at all the stuff that's happened since then.
Yeah.
Working with Jewish believers, having this show, putting together a Torah class for Christians who really don't know anything about the Torah, having one in Messiah, you know, knowing people in Israel, teaching by Skype, teaching there in person, talking here to Jewish believers. I mean, all these things come together.
Yeah.
But when it starts, you say, well, why am I doing this?
Exactly.
Why can't I read Revelation? Why am I reading this? Well, there's a point to this, because this was going to be the foundation that other things were going to be built on, whether you got a sixth grade book or whether, you know, you got something from a theologian. This is the basis that you're going to start working from.
And speaking to what you're talking about, you were willing to humble yourself enough to allow God to work in your life so that he could teach you and begin to teach you so that he can actually use that for his purpose. And you were cooperating with his grace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that's what we all have to do. We all have to cooperate with God's grace. Things just don't happen. I mean, they will happen whether we cooperate with God's grace or not. Things will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if we desire to serve the Lord, then we need to cooperate with God's grace so that what we're doing is in fact his will and not just our own desire.
Mm.
Because what the Lord has taken me back to several times, more than several times, when I'm praying about things is Cain and Abel.
Mm.
Why was one sacrifice acceptable? Why was the other not? One brother was accepted, one brother was not.
Yeah.
One brother got really mad and killed his other brother because he was jealous that God didn't accept his sacrifice.
Exactly.
What happens in our Christian communities today?
Mm-hmm.
What happens in our world today? Jealousy because you don't accept my sacrifice. I want to offer you what I want to offer you. Mm-hmm. Accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And God doesn't have to. The reality is God does not have to.
Mm-hmm.
And so do I go before God and say, God, what's pleasing to you?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of sacrifice do you want?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if we're going to serve the Lord, then we can't serve ourselves.
Yes.
And we have to be all in.
I'm thinking about our friend Adil Sapir, who pastors a church in Israel in northern mm-hmm. Galilee, who, when he had his conversion experience, he was walking out of a church where he had left some money that mm-hmm. he had gotten unethically, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt the Lord say to him, I don't want your money. I don't want your dirty money. I want your heart. And he was quite shaken by that.
Mm.
But he wants your heart. He doesn't exactly. want you to put $2 in the collection on Sunday morning. He doesn't want you, you know, in the book of Isaiah, it says, you know, these people pay me lip service, but their hearts are far from me.
Yeah.
You know, if your heart's close, you want to do what he wants you to do. It's that communication like John at the Last Supper, you know, he's leaning against Jesus. He can literally hear his heart beating. He's kind of leaning on him. You yeah. know, when you're that close, you don't want to say, oh yeah, this has been nice and, mm-hmm. I'm glad I got to do this with you, but you know, I got stuff to do, so
yeah.
I'll see you. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something you say, wow, there isn't anything like this.
Yeah.
So when he writes his first letter, he says, that which was from the beginning, we saw, we heard, we touched, we lived with him.
Yeah.
Because he's, after all those experiences he had, and when he realized what was going on, he didn't want to think about anything else.
Mm-mm.
He didn't want to go back to the fishing business.
No.
He didn't want to, you know, open a store in Jerusalem and sell Jesus souvenirs. He wanted to go out and preach because this is what he now knew he had to do.
Yeah.
And it's just, and Paul, well, all of them,
mm-hmm.
they went, and when people say, well, you know, those guys, they wanted to make up their own religion, so. You go, well, that's interesting because
right.
all of them except John were martyred.
Yeah.
So they died for something they knew was a lie.
What a religion to make up for. Yeah.
yeah. If yeah. I made up a lie and somebody was going to kill me, I'd say, you know what, you guys, I made that all up.
Yeah.
No, they said, okay, go ahead and kill me.
Yeah.
And so this is, that's very serious discipleship.
mm-hmm.
And I always think about, you listeners might remember, when these 21 Egyptian Christians were killed on that beach in Libya by ISIS,
mm-hmm.
and they were beheaded one by one, yeah. 21 of them, there was no panic. There was no screaming out. And there were witnesses there that said, they just said Jesus as the people were getting ready to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is discipleship. You know, we don't want to sit in an uncomfortable pew. You know, we yeah. don't want to park too far from the door.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we want to walk a short distance.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are calling out to Jesus. They're being beheaded.
Yeah.
And I think that they receive some comfort in a way that Stephen did, not you, the other one.
Yeah.
When he was being stoned.
Yeah.
Now, can you imagine how painful it would be to be stoned? People throwing rocks at you of various sizes and you're getting hit in the head, you're getting hit in the chest, you're getting hit by all these people throwing stones at you. And he looks up and heaven opens up and he sees Jesus at the right hand who gets up to receive his spirit.
Yeah.
And he just says, oh, I see him as he's being killed.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the discipleship that we should all point to. I mean, we're not all going to be martyred. I don't want to be martyred.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't want to be. But, you know, this is the kind of thing we have to be ready for. Not this feel good. I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. Isn't this nice? And I can't do that today because I'm too tired.
Right.
Oh, it's another break. When are we going to start the show? Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. Mm-hmm.
rise like incense as we magnify the sun. Mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so, together we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Let's forget my notes. Yeah. What were we talking about?
That seemed like a really long break. Wow. Anyway, what were you talking about?
What were we talking about?
Hebrews? No.
No. Serious discipleship and martyrdom. And, you know, the thing is, all the serious disciples through Christian history have faced persecution, have faced martyrdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just in the first century.
Right.
You know, we're not hearing much about it because, like you were saying, you know, the media could really care less if Christians are being persecuted somewhere else or right. somewhere or other.
Right.
But the 20th century and this so far in the 21st century, we've had a lot of martyrs.
Mm-hmm.
The Middle East has fewer Christians now than at any time since Jesus was here. I mean, mm-hmm. since the first century. And they've been driven out, they've been killed, they've been oppressed,
mm-hmm.
and we're not hearing about that. We're hearing about what bathroom people can go to, and we're hearing about, you know, one person being offended by somebody saying Merry Christmas, so everybody has to change, but we're not hearing about Christians that are being killed because of what they believe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
no, we're not.
This is the, you know, this is the antichrist mentality of the media.
We're not even hearing it in the church.
That's right. We're not hearing it in the church. We're not hearing it in the church.
No.
And you don't want to talk about, nobody wants to talk about sin because who am I to judge?
Well, you're hitting a real, nobody wants to talk about sin. Nobody wants to make anybody feel uncomfortable. So we're not going to say that there was 21 Christians that were martyred today.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, that's what the church wants to say, that we have martyrs in the church,
mm-hmm.
but we can't talk about the ones who it just happened to today.
Yeah.
Because it might make somebody queasy in their seat.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the problem.
They don't mind talking about the martyrs of the first century because that's sort of like,
that's
you
just,
know,
oh yeah, that's far enough in the past.
Yeah, that's far enough in the past. Nobody's going to worry about it. And everybody will agree that, you know, the persecutions under Nero and Diocletian and these other emperors, oh, that was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're like comfortable. Now we're nice. We don't do barbarous things anymore.
Right.
And we don't want to talk about unpleasant things, and we don't want to talk about things that are, narrow-minded.
Yeah.
Like the whole idea of, I mean, when I was growing up, everybody would have agreed that salvation came through Jesus and what he did on the cross, and you should follow Jesus, try to live a good life and do. Now you have no kind of agreement like that. You used to know what was right and what was wrong, whether you were in school and getting punished because you did something wrong, whether your parents were punishing you because you did something wrong, or you thought, you know, God isn't going to like what I'm doing. You know, there were breaks on these things.
Yeah.
And now that has been totally removed.
Well, now the school gets in trouble because the child did something wrong, and the parents get in trouble because they try to discipline the child.
Exactly.
It's totally upside down.
Exactly. I had a young woman come to my office one day in tears because she was in the store next door to my office with her little 4 or 5 year old kid who had gotten out of hand, and she yelled and gave him a whack on the butt. Well, the cashier there called the police. So all of a sudden, these two police officers come up to her while she's shopping and start asking her questions because she, you know, she didn't abuse the child. She gave him a little whack on the butt because he was getting out of hand.
Yeah.
And even the fact that she raised her voice, you know, we can't have that.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. You know, the book of Proverbs says, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. You're supposed to discipline them. In the book of Hebrews, it says, don't, you know, God disciplines you like a father disciplines his children. And you don't like it when you get disciplined, but then later on, you understand why you were disciplined.
Yeah. Some people try to remove the emotions out of the person.
Yeah.
And God gave us the gift of emotions.
Exactly.
It makes us it's what makes us fully human.
Of course.
We can love. We can unfortunately hate. Mm-hmm. We can be angry. We can be mad. We can be sad.
Yeah,
those are all emotions.
Right.
And they can all be used for good things.
Yes. Absolutely.
But when people try to dismantle that within the human being, that's unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're saying, you know, the person raised their voice a little bit. Maybe the child needed that because he's been doing it for the last 50 minutes and the parent is frustrated because they can't get through to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and his timeout didn't work. And so, the person, you know, the cashier that's calling the police, you know, that person really needs to like understand if they're not a parent.
Mm-hmm.
What it is to be a parent and to have a child being disobedient.
Mm-hmm. But this whole thing has also led to this, what I call the narrow mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you talk about Jesus, that can't be tolerated. You can talk about Islam. You can talk about the Dalai Lama. You can talk about Hindus. You can talk about yoga. You can talk about anything else. You can talk about New Age spirituality. Yep. Says, well, so that's fascinating, interesting. But you talk about Jesus. Well, we can't have that.
Right.
And when John said the spirit of the Antichrist is in the world, this is what he's talking about.
Yeah.
The spirit of the Antichrist is in the world, and we're seeing it magnified now because of the electronic communication.
Yeah.
Now it goes simultaneously into every home.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who's watching that particular news broadcast hears somebody say, well, this far right Christian idea of, well, you know, the far right Christians are thinking this and the far right Christian, there's always some negative adjective used to describe people that are serious about the Bible and serious about their faith and serious about following the Lord.
Exactly.
Because this is a threat to the Antichrist spirit that's in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So when people want to talk about Islam and people say, well, you know, in the Christian churches, the women are mistreated. And well, I beg to differ with that because there is no faith system that's more, that's better for women, so to speak, to use that ridiculous terminology, than Christianity.
Yeah.
And they'll look at women in the Islamic world that are second-class citizens are treated like property by their husbands, and they'll say, well, you know, that's okay, but we can't have this Jesus thing. It's these far-right Christians that are causing all this trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, it's totally reversed. It's totally upside down. And there's a hey, we got to get along with everybody. There's one thing to make peace and build bridges, if it's authentic.
Sure.
But if it's not authentic and people don't believe, you know, if there is oppression and stuff like that within a faith or a religion, you have to call that out. You have to say what's there. And if they get mad, well, they get mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually when the person who's walking in darkness gets called out because they're walking in darkness, they usually get mad
because
they don't want you to know what they're doing.
Sure.
And it's not because, you know, it's not the person that called them out that's the issue. It's their walking in darkness that is the true issue.
Yeah. Jesus pointed that out. You know, men prefer darkness to the light.
Yeah.
Because their deeds are evil.
Yeah.
When you're doing evil things, you don't want the light to shine on you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can we start my notes now?
We'll have to wait till next week.
Oh.
Hey.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that you would be able to, that you would just go before God and ask Him to show you your heart and to examine your heart, and that it would be filled with all the things that God wants you to do, and to remove those things that separate you from His love, His mercy, and His grace. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.